This morning, God gave me one word about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I've been studying this one word, and I didn't know it was found this many times in the Bible until I started studying. I had no idea it was found this many times in the Bible. But in 1975, I went to the Army. I was in Fort Knox, Kentucky, in basic training, and that it was 1975, it was 2026. It was April of 1975. And how I remember that, sometimes I can't remember stuff I did 5 minutes ago, where I put stuff at. Sometimes I go to the cabinet and I say, what I'm here for? Sometimes I go to my truck and while I'm working, I go to my truck, Brother Donnie, I get to my truck and I have to stop and think for a few minutes. What am I doing here? What did I come to get? But this guy, in 1975, April of this year, it'd be 51 years. And this guy had a saying. He always would say, you don't have to. His name was Sergeant Sanchez. He said, George, go out there and open that door. Just give him, you know, illustration. He said, you don't have to, but you must. That one word that God dropped in my spirit was must, M-U-S-T. Must is a necessary in the New Testament. It's the Greek word D-E-I, appearing 100 times to indicate divine obligations or necessities. Often used to describe divine necessities such as in Jesus' statement. He made some statements. We won't go to that later, but if you have your Bibles open to, I'm going to illustrate how important God's word is, his commandments. When he said you must, you must. He's very serious about his words. When he said you must, you must. So we go to Genesis chapter 17. Verse 13, you can read that. It says over 100 times in the New Testament and several times in the Old Testament. So these scriptures and these headings I give you, study them yourself. I'm not going to be able, because of time, I'll be able to go line by line, precept by precept, because there's so much I want to cover about the main theme is the word is must. So get a little, the title of mine says, The Sign of the Covenant. So you can read up to, it talks about God always had a covenant with his people. In the first covenant, he had a covenant with Adam, he had a covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. But God was so serious about what he commanded, he didn't say it just to be saying it. Like I said, with my drill sergeant, I said, go around and pick that up. He said, you don't have to, but you must. God is serious about his words. So in verse 13, and I'm sure this was passed on through generations, because God's a faith, he's a just God. But back, let's go to verse 10. But for time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can start in verse 1. The title of it is Sign of the Covenant. Verse 10 says, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh, your foreskin. It shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh or the foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. How serious is God about his word, his must, that covenant? Now, of course, we have a new covenant in our flesh now, but I'm not emphasized on that. I'm emphasized on the word must. When God tells we must do something, it's a necessity. It's a necessity. It's obligation to God. We must. So this, how serious is God about his commandments? How obedient he wants to be. Let's turn to Genesis chapter, let's turn to Exodus chapter 4. This let's pertain to must. So Moses, here we're the day of Moses. When Moses goes down to Pharaoh, he does his thing. Moses goes down to Egypt. Exodus chapter 4. I got an NIV and I got a... So Moses, here is Moses going down to Egypt. He's doing a thing down in Egypt. We get this verse 24. Now, when it says it, and it came to pass that on the way that, you know, he's talking about Moses. This is talking about Moses. It says, and he came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Some commentaries say, he was going to kill Moses' sons. But some commentators say he's going to kill Moses. Here it is in Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. Back in Genesis chapter 17, 13, and 14, God told Abraham, you must be circumcised. Anything, he told specifically time, within eight days, a male in your household, either your family or somebody you bought, one of your slaves or servant, a male must be circumcised. If he don't, he'll be cut off. And God was serious about his words. And it came to pass, 24 again, on the way at the encampment, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely a husband of blood to me. So let's go the commentary a little bit in NIV. It sort of explains that. Exodus chapter 4. This passage is confusing. I'm doing a commentary. This passage is confusing. Some think the word Moses should have been replaced with Moses' son. Others disagree. Either way, the focus is on the fact that Moses disobeyed God, led to dire consequences. Apparently, Moses had ignored God's commandment to circumcise his son. Which I say, you can go back to Genesis chapter 17, verse 9 through 14. Some think the Midianite's wife, Zipporah, was especially opposed to the ritual. Circumstances, however, was a symbol of obedience and consecration to God's covenant. Before going to Pharaoh, Moses had some unfulfilled, unfinished family business to take care of. Because she came from a different land, they had different practices, and they believed in circumcision, but they didn't believe in it until they was married, till the male was married. But God specifically told Moses, told Abraham, you must be circumcised. Either I will cut you off. God was very serious about his word, must. His being obedient, you must. So we're going to go on some things with Jesus. Because Jesus came. He came to do the Father's will. He came to do the Father's will. And Let's see what Jesus, what he had to do. Let's turn to verse 9, chapter 9, verse 4 in the book of John. This is Jesus talking. Well, first, let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Very familiar story for those who read the Bible. Very familiar story. When Jesus, they went down to Jerusalem at the time, they went down, Joseph and Mary, and they was down there. And on the way back, on the trip back, it took them a day. They had missed, hey, wait a minute, where's Jesus at? He was 12 years old. Just wave your hand if I need to slow down anything. Because I won't. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. So I'm just emphasizing. You can read the whole story yourself by emphasizing today on the word must. I say it's found 100 times in the New Testament. So here they are, they're looking for Jesus, and he's around all these scholars and stuff, and they was amazed at him. I'm just paraphrasing this, but I'm getting down to 49. He said, let's go to 48. So when they saw him, they was amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And Jesus said, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus came here. He was about his Father's business. What was his Father's business? To seek and save those that were lost. To heal. To be a light. For a Christian is called to live purposely, serve God, and to do his work. What is his work? Glad you asked. Spreading the gospel. We must spread the gospel. Showing love, helping one another. We have a job to do outside this church walls. There's people dying, there's people hurting, there's people with cancer, people, you know, I think it was Isaiah, I'm not for sure, he said, "I'm looking for a man to stand the gap." Who gonna stand the gap? You know, we have so much distractions. You know, I was talking to Brother Donnie right before we started, he said, "George, I was at Power and that TV for several days, and, you know, I had the old Bible over here in the corner, I hadn't read in a while, and I got more Bible out and started reading from Genesis, and I'm up to Numbers, or I'm up there reading verse by verse." That's what we need to do. Social media is good. Sometimes it's good, but it can distract. We are called to be children of the Most High God. The devil, he is called to create division. He don't want the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Baptist, or the Black, White, Mexicans, Hispanics. He don't want. He won't keep us separate because he know with unity there is power. He won't keep little things. Church of Christ. Well, if you're not Church of Christ, you're going to hell. If you're not apostolic, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues. When you hear that voice, you're not going to get trumpet. You're not going to hear it. That's the vision. That's the vision. We must be about our Father's business. Jesus had a purpose. Let's look at John 3. Let's go back and look at ourselves. Sometimes we miss this, and I'm not saying who is and who isn't, but we need to examine ourselves. There, in chapter 3, there's a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God. Because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered again and said, Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. This is the part right here. This is the must part. Jesus saying this, Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. If you're born again, Paul says that your affection should be on things above, not things on the earth around us that's perishing. Don't waste your time arguing about different things that don't matter. You got people out here hurting. You got people you need to stand the gap for. You got people who won't see your light. They might be the only Jesus you see. They see. We must be born again. That's what Jesus said. We must be born again. We got to have that new birth experience. Because the flesh, sometimes it's too much. We walk around with too much flesh. Jesus said, you would know my disciples. They would bear fruit. They have love one for another. By this, all men will know you that you are my disciples. That cut across age, barriers, women, gender, and all. You must be born again. You must love one another. And on in, go to the woman at the well. Chapter 4 of the same book of John. Here's Jesus talking about must. We can get things from the Holy Spirit. That's our help. That's our agent between heaven and earth. Your must might not be my must, what God tells you to do, or go minister somebody, or pray for somebody, or stand a gap for someone. When God gave you commandments like Drill Sergeant Sanchez, he said, you must. He go tell you, hey, George, I want you to pray and fast for 3 days for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I want you to do this. I want you to get away from that TV. I want you to get away from that social media. I want you to put that phone down and spend some time with me. You don't have to, but you must. You must. Okay, back then born again, what I wrote down, a divine necessity. John 3:7, you must be born again. No option to see the spiritual things, you must be born of the Spirit of God. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about you don't have to put on the whole armor of God. You must. You must put on the whole armor of God because we're in a spiritual warfare. You must be able to see what the enemy is putting out there. The Bible says if a true believer is born again, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. One of the devices is to divide and conquer. Jesus talked about division. They called him a devil, Beelzebub. He said, How you call me Beelzebub, a devil? If I'm working for the devil, if the devil sent me, why am I doing it working against him? He said, A house divided cannot stand. We must be born again to see the things of God. We must put on the whole armor of God each and every day. We must be prepared for battle. We're in a war, guys. I don't know if y'all know it. We're in a war. I didn't come talk about spiritual warfare, but we're in a war, guys. Walk around casual. You got to put on. I know several guys was in the army, armed forces. I know when I went out, I had to have my gear on, especially my helmet. I had to have everything on because we're in a warfare, guys. We're in a war. The devil wants our souls. He wants our families. He wants our peace. He come. But the strange thing about it is, if you read your Bible, it don't hide what the devil come to do. It also don't hide what we as born again believers must do. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must be born again. And back to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. But back being born again. Let me skip them around. Just stay with me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12. You know, when Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, they healed this man, and they bought in with questions. God was, they knew that this wasn't a hoax. They knew that this guy had been crippled since birth. He was standing at the gate called Beautiful, and he was begging in alms. And Peter and John come through there and said, "Silver and gold we have not, but such we have we give to you in the name of Jesus. Give and walk." He went to the temple. He started praising God. See, when you was crippled back in the day, you weren't allowed in the temple because they considered a curse from God. But Jesus healed this man through Peter and John. So they brought him in. They brought him in a question. What's going on with you guys? You know, what's going on with you guys? So John, in the book of Acts chapter 4, Jesus, Peter and John are standing before them. They brought him in and said, "Well, what's going on? We know this guy was lame. There's something that happened, you know." And so, I'm just going to verse 12 for time's sake. He tells, you know, before they said, "You know, who have y'all killed and crucified?" He had become the chief cornerstone. But it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men which we must be saved." Oprah Winfrey. What Oprah Winfrey say? There's many ways to God. There's only one way. We must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else except Jesus. I know in different countries, we call them different Yahweh. You know, just like if I was in Mexico, they would call me Jorge. But I'm not in Mexico. I'm in America. My name is Enjoy. If I go to Mexico, if I take on a Mexican citizenship, I want to change my name so everybody knows my name would be Jorge. But in America, my name is George. In America, we know it's Yahweh. We know all the names of God. We know Jesus was God incarnated. We know all of this, but salvation is found in no one else. It ain't in Buddha. Ain't Muhammad. You know, I got a guy associate. I don't call him a friend. I love him, but he's a devout Jehovah Witness. They don't celebrate Christmas because Muslims don't celebrate Christmas because they think Jesus was just a prophet. He was just a man like a good man like me and you. But if you want to be saved, salvation, it's found in no other name except the name of Jesus. So back to woman at the well. In chapter 4 of the book of John, we must be about our Father's business. We must put on the whole armor of God. You don't have to, but you must. You don't want your lunch yet. Get off and to Rome. I see a lot of people come across the pulpit supposed to be men and women of God, and they ain't lifting Jesus up. They lifting politics up or lifting something else up, the flesh up. It's all about flesh. There's hurting people out here need to hear the word of God. Need to see Jesus in us. This is verse 4. Chapter 4. I'm reading two different Bibles. The NIV, just trying to get my plain words across here. Get make it plain to you about we must. I'm going to read this from the NIV. He needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Shazar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you only knew the gift of God and who it was who said to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than your father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus said unto her, "Whoever drank of this water will thirst again. Whoever drank of the water which I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give you will become in him a fountain of water spreading up everlasting life." So this is a story. He tells her about everything she had done. Yeah, I'm not married. I know you're not married, but You live with a man. The man you live with is not your husband. You don't have so many husbands. So Jesus tells us all this. But this is the part about the must part. It's found in, try to break this down. The woman, in verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews said it's in Jerusalem is the place you ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is in the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it's now, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh which to worship him." God, verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's twofold, spirit and in truth. Okay, verse 24. This passage emphasizes his transitioning the fear that God exists outside the boundary of this physical universe, because he is a spirit. God is not subject to what we are. We as physical humans are subject to. The Samaritan woman needed to hear this because, although she didn't realize it, she was stuffing God in a box due to a misconception. She also, so being Samaritan, even some of the, so she others, so she also, she, let me read, she was stuffing God in a box due to misconception. Us Samaritans, even Jews, and some Jews have been stuffing, putting limits on God to a single place. But by insisting that God could not be found in only one geographic location, she demonstrated that she didn't grasp the transition of a spiritual nature of God. It was as she was thinking of God as physical. She was trying to approach the limitless God and put limits on God. Now, I say so many churches today, they put limits on God. If you ain't going here, if you ain't going to this Pentecostal, this apostolic church, speaking in tongues, and you're not baptized in Jesus' name, there's no way you're going to heaven. How can you say it, Joy? I went to the apostolic church for 2 years. And the Holy Spirit said, get up and get out of there. I'm talking about apostolic. I'm looking around here today. Nobody in this sanctuary right here today on the sound of my voice would be welcome. Brother Donnie might. Pastor Bean wouldn't be. June wouldn't be. My wife wouldn't be. Joy, you wouldn't be. Sister Healy. Pam, none of you. Miss Ruth, you come in smiling and you got a great smile on you, a great spirit, but you go to apostolic church, you wouldn't be welcome. You wouldn't be welcome at all. You wouldn't be welcome. I'm talking about the Pentecostal apostolic church. Women couldn't shave their hair. Women couldn't do nothing to their hair. You couldn't be. Men couldn't. Men had to be clean shaven. Women no makeup. No jewelry for men. You might have your wedding ring. No watch or nothing. No kind of jewelry at all. Period. I went there before. They put limits on God. He's a limitless God. They were legalistic. They were legalistic in God, like the woman Samaritan. Oh, we worship here on this mountain. We don't worship nowhere else. God's a limitless God. God's an almighty God. He's everywhere. He's a sovereign God. He's everywhere. Not only here at Sister Christian Fellowship. You know, somebody leaves Sister Christian Fellowship, God might call them somewhere else. Out of the church, we the Trinity Family Church. It's ironic that when men say something, God has a way, a sense of humor. When men say something like, "What are y'all leaving for?" See, there's nowhere else you know. James Little John said, "This is it here at Trinity Family Church. This is it. Y'all, why are y'all leaving?" We left. Then, several years later, the same guy was telling us not to leave. He left. Me and my wife are not. I'm making an illustration about must. We must worship God in spirit and truth. It's not. I'm not down on denomination. What they believe is what they believe. They loving people. They caring people. I'm not here to knock anyone. I'm saying what I experienced. Me and my wife got married, and her mom and dad lived in Gainesboro, Tennessee, and so we go up there. I said, okay, I'm going up there. We try to bond with her. With her parents. So they invite us Easter time, maybe 4th of July. We go about once or twice a year. Just a bond. When we go down Friday night, we sit there and talk. And her dad was he reminded me of Pastor Bean's dad so much. I mean, they could be twins. He had just a meek and gentle, I mean, he had just such a good spirit about him. You want to just sit there and gravitate to him. He had such a good spirit about him. You know, it wasn't made up. You know, you go to his house and automatically you could see where he was sitting at. He had a chair he was sitting at, and when you come there, he'd give his chair up. He didn't do it begrudgingly. You could tell by his spirit. He gave it up. But then we go to fish fry. We go to fish. All you eat fish on Saturday, maybe Friday night or Saturday. We sit there eat fish. We fellowship. We talk. We laugh. And then on Sundays, they were devout, extreme Church of Christ. Every time, I'm talking about putting limits on God. I ain't talking about no denomination. Putting limits on God, what I've seen. I'm not putting limits on God. Take limits off of God, but I'm not here to down no denomination, period. Don't get me wrong. But every time that I went there about five times, It never fail. If you ain't baptized, and you know, if you're in a church of Christ, you're going to hell. Here's a man of God standing behind a pulpit. Here's people out here, some of them visiting. Even they had funeral, had her dad's funeral. They would say, if you're in the church of Christ, you're going to hell, period. And so like by the fifth time, I told my wife, I said, hey, I said, I'm going to come see your dad and mom because I love them, but going to church with them, I can't sit under that. They put limits on God. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. But main thing, God, we must. I said must is over and over. I might teach them again. You know, it tells in Timothy, Timothy tells the qualification of a man or woman of God. You must do this. You must do this. You must do this. You must not be a man given a drink. You must. Your children must be obedient. Your children can't be out here making papers about this and making you look bad. You must. It's over 100 times. I can't go over all of them. But the main thing, we must be about our Father's business, and we must put on the whole armor of God. Because it should be some evidence, guys, that we've been born again. We shouldn't be like the world. That's what God's covenant was. He wanted to be separate, sanctified. Come out amongst them. Be ye separate. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Don't be like the world. Don't get in things. Don't waste. Paul says this. Don't set your affection on things above. Don't waste your time with things of the world. Them things are perishing. Set your affection on the things above, not below. Because we have an enemy. I said we're in a spiritual warfare. If we don't put the whole armor of God, we'll find ourselves caught up in this earthly thing, this worldly thing. We don't put the whole armor of God. And I think we all have, at one time or another, we done fell prey to that. I have. I know a couple of years ago, me and my sister stopped speaking because of politics. And me and my brother had a heat debate. We stopped talking for a while, and I went to see him about a month ago, and I apologized to him. I said, I'll never do that again. I don't want to lose somebody because of lose a soul because I'm in the politics so much that I forget. You know, Paul said, he said, if anything offend my brother, that I love my brother so much, if anything offend my brother, that I will not say that. I will not eat that. I won't bring it up. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you guys, I'm not a legalistic guy, but sometimes, you know, me and my wife riding, I like his band. It wasn't old back 50 years ago called, he died, Frankie Beverly and Mays, featuring Mays. And we would listen to songs like that sometimes. But sometimes I would have that in my work truck. But if one of my workers got in there, if I thought it was going to offend them, I wouldn't play it because I love them so much. I love them so much. I know I could have did it. It wouldn't hurt anything. It wasn't nothing provocative. But if it's going to offend my brother, if I say anything going to offend you, brother, I won't say it. If I do anything going to offend you, I won't do it because we should have love. That's what I'm going to close on. I think out of the book of John, I think a verse. I think it's good to close with John chapter 9. I think it's verse 34, I believe it is. No. I think it's John chapter 9. I can't find it, but this is what it says. A new commandment I give you. And my NIV says, it says, you must love one another. No, it's necessary. You must love one another. You must be by Jesus. I must be by my Father's business. It'd be a sad day. It'd be a sad day if we go to church all our lives and grudging and all this, holding all this stuff in, hating people. And then we get up right in front of Jesus. He said, hey, Jesus, I was on the hospitality committee. We served during the Super Bowl. We didn't celebrate Super Bowl. We had Super Bowl. We didn't offer that, Lord. And we did all this, and I did all this. And it'd be sad when he say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, bear no fruits. Love, peace, joy, kindness, long suffering. That we must have them. We must have that fruit in us. So let's go to Hebrew chapter. We'll close with that. Hebrew chapter 11. Talking about must. Some things we must do. I said there's many more to cover. I said there's 100 of them. But we must. I said in the book of Timothy, God tells the qualifications. You must be this. You must do this. You must do this. Very familiar scripture. I'm going to end with this. Yes, time to go. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Must. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God, must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. That he is the great I am. There's nothing too hard for him. We must believe that. No matter what situation we're facing, we must believe. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must be born again. We must be about the Father's business. We must seek the things from above, not on this earth.